Sullivan Show.
The Sullivan Show.
On City Talk 105.9.
This is The Sullivan Show. You're with me, Dean Sullivan, on City Talk 105.9. With you right up until 4 o'clock today and every day, Monday to Friday, here on City Talk 105.9. Still to come on The Sullivan Show. This hour I'm going to be in conversation with my old mate, Tony Brown. After 3, of course, we get out of the studio and into the City Cafe, and I'll be joined by the talented Sing Twins, who will join me to talk about their latest animated work. And we find out how the artistic collaboration of the Liverpool Biennial is going to be bigger and better than ever in 2008. That's still to come on today's Sullivan Show.
This is The Sullivan Show.
On City Talk 105.9.
In conversation with Dean. On City Talk 105.9.
If you were listening earlier, you'll know I was telling you about that fantastic exhibition I was at last night in the Heritage Centre at St George's Hall. And I'm joined now for In Conversation With This Hour by an old friend of mine, very, very talented local artist, Anthony Brown. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Tim.
Have you recovered from last night?
I have. Well, I haven't stopped yet, so no. I've recovered. Yeah.
Good turnout, though, wasn't it?
It was a fantastic night. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Just tell us about that, because we'll talk in more detail about, you know, your 100 Heads project. But last night, it was quite a unique part of the whole exhibition, wasn't it?
Yeah. The 100 Heads project is basically driven by my wanting to capture the likeness of the portraits of people who inspired me along the way, inspired my work, inspired me and my family, my kids and stuff. So from all walks of life, but throughout my life as a kid, the biggest inspiration of me as an artist and a musician has always been the Beatles, and will remain that way. And I think a lot of people share the same thing, but it was important for me to record them as part of the 100 Heads. And yesterday, being a special day that was 2008, beginning of the Beatles week in 2008, you know, our special year, I figured that should be the ideal time to launch them.
To bring the four together.
It was only those four, wasn't it, last night? There's only those four.
Four separate portraits.
And the idea is that a range of merchandise which contains those images, it was launched on the same night, so forever that this range is stamped 2008, 2008.
And they look great. I've not seen them before. The wonderful
fantastic.
The mugs and
That's a new venture for us.
Yeah.
It's kind of the first time we've taken control of something and put it out there.
But I've always said to you, haven't I? I said you should get this. You know, make things that people can buy, because you know, obviously the big. I would imagine. I don't know. You know, shoot me down if I'm wrong. But I would imagine your big portraits are going to be for sale at some point in the future.
It will be. But
in the meantime, you've got to earn a living.
That's true. And there's also people have asked over the years, past 2 years, can they buy a postcard? Can they buy something with images on?
Yeah.
You know, for every image and the Beatles and at this time of the year.
Well, our visitor figures, you know, we've reported this here on the Sullivan Show, you know, the visitor figures to the area have gone through the roof.
Yeah,
three times more than they ever expected.
Do you know,
and they were going to expect a fantastic year anyway.
Well, in the short walk I just made from St. George's Hall to here to you today, the streets are packed.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of people. There's Americans, there's Norwegians, there's French. And funny enough, in the hall this morning, the same thing around the Beatles portraits. The Beatles are, whether it's me or it's anyone else reproducing their likeness, are a magnet to the city. Yeah. And I know, I understand totally the line that Liverpool is bigger than the Beatles and lots more goes on. You and I know that, and we've campaigned for that for years. But ultimately, there are a vast number of people come to the city for either the Beatles or the football.
And they want to take a souvenir away.
They want to take something home, that says I've been to Liverpool and this is...
Well, as you say, you know, you go anywhere in the world, we've said this before, go anywhere in the world, you know, and if you mention the word Liverpool, that's what people think of, Beatles and or football.
Yeah.
Simple
but the one thing we've never done, or I don't feel we've done very well, is to give people that little bit of Liverpool to take away. We can go, you and I can jump a train, we can go to Paris, you can go anywhere, and you can come back with goodie bags full of stuff to say I've been to Paris and what a wonderful city it is.
Mm.
In Liverpool, we don't do that very well.
We're not good at selling ourselves,
We're not. I don't think we ever have been. We've never really needed to. And we, you know, it's now people are asking us, you know, where can we go? Where's the souvenir of Liverpool?
Well, we've gone through that turning point now, haven't we? Because now we're coming to the culture, it's sort of galvanised a lot of things, hasn't it, really?
I think we've got a bit more pride back in not only ourselves, but our city. And I've always been proud to come from Liverpool, and I know you have, and most people, we're in our circle, our friends and our colleagues are the same. But now, as a show of force from the city, Liverpool is a special place. It's a one-off place. And the people, the visitors who come, realise that and they pick up on that. And they're loving that fact. But they still want to take something, some memento back with them.
Of course. You know? Now, we're talking about that event last night. Of course, the Lord Mayor was there, and the Lord Mayor for the day was there.
Yes, he was
a bit terrified to make the opening speech,
I think, wasn't he?
God love him.
Yeah, I said to him, would I to say, no, I don't do speeches.
So our Lord Mayor who'd stepped down for the day, Steve Rotherham, he said a few words instead.
Steve was lovely.
He's a great support, isn't he?
He's a great support. He's a good friend. I've only met him recently, but Steve is a friend of a lot of my friends, and I heard so much about him, and I think he's a breath of fresh air, really. He's what the city needs, and what he did yesterday was a wonderful thing, I figure, with handing over the reins, if you like, for the day.
And the idea being to raise money for his charities.
Yeah. And there's a wonderful thing, is it's almost like giving the city back to the people, really. Mm. But any one of us could have been Lord Mayor for the day.
Absolutely, yeah, if your name had been pulled out of the hat. Yeah. Just to go back to your exhibition, Tony, down there at the Heritage Centre, how long is it on for, this particular one?
It is there for a week, Dean. The publicity states that it will come down on the 28th. Well, we've been told this morning it will come down on Friday, the 29th of August. But it will return as part of the biennial. So, it will be there for the duration of the biennial.
And it opens on the usual opening hours?
Yeah, 10 till 5 every day, including the Sunday and the bank holiday, which they're guessing to be the busiest days. I've actually been asked to do a signing, which is a first for me. So I go in on the Sunday 1 till 2, and I go in on the Monday 1 till 2. Which is great, because we want to bring the kids along to this year's Matthew Street Festival.
Yeah, which I've been talking to Bill Heppel, the organiser. This year's going to be fantastic.
We weren't going to miss that.
No.
But our problem has been in the past, it's not been the most shower-friendly thing, but now, funny enough, with so many hotels and with Liverpool One opening up, there's many, many places we can go, and we just wander around, watch a couple of bands and go and have a drink as a family. So I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent.
That should be great.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, the exhibition down there at the Heritage Centre, as we've said, it's the first time the four portraits of the Beatles have come together, been displayed as a unit.
George was only finished a fortnight ago.
So you were working to a deadline then?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, we.
You always are, though, aren't you? Every time I see you, I've got to get this for. I've got to get that done.
That's right. Yeah.
Do you like working like that?
I do. I work for many years as a graphic designer, where you're always on a deadline. So it doesn't fade. I don't mind working under pressure. I can't work under stress. I get blocked under stress, and that's happened very rarely, but it does happen. But this one, really, we wanted to have it ready for the Beatles Week. Because we realise the importance of it. Because at the moment, I don't have a venue for them to go, for them to hang. St George's Hall, as we know, is our finest building in the city. And Graham Boxer and Louise Hughes, who are in control of the Heritage Centre, they've been great supporters of not only the 100 Heads, but of all the other stuff I've done. And when I broached them the idea of doing something for Beatles Week, he thought it was fantastic, great. And then that led to the idea of their store, their shop, selling something that no one else could get for the moment, which is what's happened.
Brilliant. Now, let's just, in case there are some people out there, maybe one or two, who have no idea what we're talking about, tell us about this whole project. We're talking about 100 heads, but in actual fact, in the end, it's going to be near 120, isn't it?
There's going to be about 135, I think.
Oh, that many now. It keeps going up.
Because I keep meeting wonderful people.
Yeah.
And my first barrier I wanted to break down with people, and as you know, because you witnessed the first two or three canvases being made, that the assumption was that I was painting famous people, whether dead or alive, which was wrong. I wasn't.
Famous Liverpool or Merseyside people.
Yeah, and some of them aren't even from Liverpool or Merseyside, but they in their capacity and whatever role they do, they support Liverpool. There's New Yorkers who absolutely love Liverpool, sing their praises. People we've met across my life, and Lorraine, my wife, you know, when we had the idea of wanting to do something special for our 800th birthday, you know, I saw it being people.
So that's where it all came about. That was the start of it. You wanted to commemorate Liverpool's 800th birthday.
It was. We talked about wanting to do it and do it with people. And there were various people who had got me to a point, helped me along the way. One particular lady, Dr. Y. McWatt, who I think you've met, who's a wonderful, wonderful, now retired doctor who saved my eyesight 13 years ago, or 13 years old, a baby. Without her, I'd have been blind, and I would not have been working at all. So, obviously, something like that.
Thanks to her that we're seeing your wonderful work today.
It is, yeah. It's thanks to her, and it's thanks to Lorraine, who's propped me up over the years, yeah.
Lorraine, your wife?
Yeah.
Now, just tell us about the portraits and the size of them. So we've got an idea, you know, paint, as it were, you know, that picture, a mental picture, so that the listeners know what we're talking about. Because we're not talking about little canvases, you know, 12-inch by 12-inch, are we?
No, we're talking about average size is just under 4 foot square. And it contains the face, the head of the portrait. It's the title, 100 Heads. But in the head is every aspect of their life. Hugh Schofield has a wonderful way of summing it up, and he said, stand away and you see the face, look close, you see the life. And that's exactly what they are. The multi-layered collage technique portraits, utilising birth certificates, photographs, postcards, special occasion, concert tickets, letters that you may have sent or received. You know, if we're lucky enough, like we are, to have good family and to have good roots, then you acknowledge those. My idea for the 100 Heads was to acknowledge those people whose work and who've inspired me, and in turn, their portraits are filled with snippets of information from people who've influenced them.
Well, I was honoured enough to be asked by you, Tony, quite a while ago now.
Number five.
Was I number five?
You were the fifth portrait completed.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow! I didn't know I was that way back. Oh, yeah. That's a great honour. But I was honoured to be asked by you to be one of your 100 Heads, and you know, you explained to me, you know, how your process works, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But basically, you asked me to go back and look through anything that I had at home that had a bearing on my life. And I'm one of those people who, I don't throw anything out.
No,
you know?
Me too.
So I spent weeks going through my archives and reviews and pictures and things that I kept and cards, postcards or birthday cards and things like that. And it's amazing what you can amass. And it's amazing once, because I just gave you a bag full of stuff, didn't I?
Yeah.
And then I said, they are, that's what I've picked out. And then you pick out what you want to, you know, what you think is reflective of my life or me as a person or whatever it may be. And it was absolutely, I couldn't wait to see, you know, what you come up with, really.
Well, that was part of the beauty in that when you talk, the subjects are all known to us. The subjects are known either very, very well, we've known for many years, or people that we've kind of got to know over years. So I knew through our conversations, you know, the importance of your parents, your family, Pitt Lockery in the theatre company, and so
that
when
that
you
was
gave
the
me
first job.
The bag of snippets, I kind of catalogued the various things. For me, the wonderful thing you gave me was a pencil portrait of your dad, which has been in your mum's purse for years and years and years. And
a little pencil drawn of my dad when he used to go to sea out in Montevideo.
Yeah,
1945, I think it's had at the bottom of it. Yeah.
So it's that. And
you've included that. You put that in, you know, that's in my portrait.
I put that in your head.
Because it's wonderful that, you know, when you go and look at all the vast collection of all of them, that you can actually spend, you know, you can spend a good hour in front of each one looking at all the little snippets of things.
Well, that's been a magical thing. But for me as an artist, you don't often get the chance to stand in front of your own work and observe. You don't do that. It normally goes on a wall, and then if people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But we chose, Larry and I chose deliberately to have the work shown at public venues, the cathedrals, the St. George's Hall, which is magnificent.
The Echo, of course.
Daily Post and Echo. Yeah, but there's always a coffee shop by where the portraits are, because what I wanted to do was to sit back, because no one knows me, no one knows who I look like, sit back and just watch people watching the portraits. Mm-hmm. And they were, the complete strangers would come up and they would have a connection to a picture with, through colour or through, you know, familiarity, they would know them. But they would spend a lot of time looking at that portrait. But I always had the idea that it was like a conversation piece. Although they never knew this, the portrait subject, they could look through at the snippets of information and read the inscription that the subject themselves provide alongside. And so they leave feeling that they've had a conversation with Dean Sullivan or with Y. McMutt or with whoever. They're a little wiser for knowledge of that person. Mm-hmm. Which is special. It was very special to sit there and watch that.
Excellent, excellent. I'm in conversation with my special guest this hour, local artist, well, I say local artist, internationally known, Tony, but we'll come on to that. Tony Brown. Are you listening to City Talk 105.9?
Thursday, the 21st of August, is GCSE Results D-Day. So get down to Riverside College to enrol on a choice of over 40 A-level subjects and over 100 vocational courses. Plus, between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m, join me, Claire Morrow, and the City Talk ground crew at their Cronton campus to help you celebrate with chances to win great prizes. See you at Riverside College, Cronton campus, this Thursday. Find your other side at Riverside with City Talk 105.9.
The Taskers Blue Ticket Summer Sale is on now, with reductions on all barbecues, patio sets, solar lighting, water features and much, much more. Save up to 50% plus an extra 10% sale discount.
The Taskers Blue Ticket Sale, Long Lane Aintree and Wavertree Road, Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
Developing partnerships, creating opportunities, growing sales. City Talk 105.9 presents an exciting opportunity to advertise your business to a whole new audience.
My name's Steve Woolley, Managing Director of K-Seal Glass. We decided to advertise on City Talk to increase brand awareness, and we're very pleased with the way that our Seeing Things Clearly campaign has gone so far. We decided to undertake the sponsorship of the Pete Price Talk Show programme, and we're very pleased with the way the alignment of the brands have gone. As a result, we've increased our business considerably and also our brand awareness. Being new to radio advertising, we didn't really understand the process involved. We're over the moon with the way the creative team at City Talk have helped us through the process and guided us through the process in developing a very effective marketing and advertising campaign. The new campaign will start in the autumn with new products, and we hope that sponsorship with the Pete Price programme will also continue.
To make sure we're talking about your business, call Gillian Taylor now on 472-6866 and ask how we can help grow your profits. City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
If you're a homeowner or rent from a private landlord and receive certain benefits, here's some heartwarming news from Warmer Heating.
Under the government's Warm Front scheme, you could claim £2,700 towards a new gas or electric heating system from Warmer Heating.
Even if you're not on benefits and you're 60 or over, you may still be entitled to a £300 rebate towards the repair or replacement of your current heating system.
Find out more. Call Warmer Heating free on 0800 377 775 or visit warmerheating.co.uk.
In conversation with Dean on City Talk 105.9.
It's just coming up to 25 past 2 this hour. Middle hour on a Thursday, as always, I'm in conversation with. This week, my special guest, an old mate of mine, a very, very talented local, national, international artist, Tony Brown, Anthony Brown. Just talking then about the process, Tony, of, you know, I give you a load of my memorabilia, you go through it, pick out salient things that you want to use in the portrait, and, you know, you put it together. And we'll talk about the process of how you go about that in a minute. But of course, with the exhibition, I'm making this assumption, with the exhibition last night, the four Beatles lads,
yeah,
you couldn't ask them, could you? Can you give me a bag full of stuff and, you know, about your life or whatever? So what did you use there?
Well, as we discussed before, I'm a compulsive hoarder, it seems, you know. I have kept stuff since I was 7 years old of Beatles bubblegum cards and all sorts of material. There's been many, I mean, the Beatles, as most kind of iconic figures like them, there's been many newspapers, magazines and stuff published over the years, and I collected stuff. The John Lennon one in particular, which is kind of a multi-emotional thing really for me, was painted for many different reasons other than 100 heads. It was the first portrait to paint it, but I kept the newspapers when John was murdered. I think I was about 19. I bought the newspapers for the week, every newspaper, every even the crap tabloids. I bought them and kept them. Didn't know what I was going to do with them. And over the years, my mum would say, "When are you going to chuck that bag of crap out?" And I finished the John portrait again, not intentionally, but just a very surreal day, which was 25 years to the day he was murdered.
Really?
So a couple of years ago, yeah. And there's many, many...
And not planned?
No, that wasn't planned. Happened, yeah. But the wonderful thing was, it was shown for, I think, 4 days in Andrew Collins's salon. And it's got a massive, beautiful big window on Castle Street by the Town Hall. And I was telling a journalist at the time about the number nine, how it affected John's life. He was born on the ninth, his mum was born on the ninth. He ultimately died on the ninth our time. His record contract was signed on the ninth.
Really?
His son was born on the ninth. So number nine played a magnificent part in his life.
Never knew that.
Yeah, yeah. And he was aware of that, and he recorded it many times in his songs and his lyrics and stuff. Well, when I was telling the journalist this, we looked at the number of Andrew Collins's salon, which is 4 and 5.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was a wonderful freaky
Whoa,
day. Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, Yoko Ono's been in town a few times this year, and she's coming back, I believe, as soon as part of the band. Have you ever sent her an invitation to have a look at John's portrait?
Well, we got our friends at the Echo had said she was coming in when John had there was an exhibition of John's Prince.
Yes.
And the John portrait was there at the time, but we were on the second floor. John's show was on the ground floor. So the wonderful team at the Post and Echo pulled the John portrait forward, so it kind of overhung the balcony, so anyone walking in couldn't fail to see him. So I think Yoko saw him, but her response, I don't know. And Ringo saw his. It ended up in his dressing room on the night of the gig. But again, I don't know.
The actual portrait ended up in his dressing room.
Yeah.
It's a wonder you got it back, is this?
Yeah. I've repainted it since then. I've given him more hair, yeah.
Now, okay, so let's just talk a little bit about, Tony, the process that you go through. You've got all the collection of the memorabilia, the letters, the news clippings, programmes, magazines, album covers or whatever in the case of the Beatles.
Yeah.
You put all those together, and what do you work off a photograph? Do you use stencils, sprays, acrylic? What sort of materials do you use?
It's a combination.
This is uniquely your own thing. Nobody else does this, do they?
It has been, yeah. No one else does it. For the first year of my working on it, I was convinced maybe I'd seen it somewhere, and I the more paranoid I got about me one, because every artist strives to do something different. When I was an art student, we were told, whatever you do, it's got to be in your style, your own style, and it's the hardest thing on the planet. If you're influenced by something, you can't help but be, like musicians are influenced by music, artists are the same. So, but I'm kind of stubborn, so over the years I've just persevered with this idea of trying different things. I don't like to paint one thing and then that's it for my life. I went to art school with a fantastic artist who loved to paint churches, loved to paint buildings, wonderful, similar in the vein to Frank Green. And he's done that all his life, to my knowledge. I couldn't do that. I have to flip from one thing to another. But the one thing that's always brought me back is faces, portraits.
So you've always been interested in portraits?
Yes, absolutely.
Where then did the germ of the idea come from to sort of, you know, this unique thing of using personal items from people's lives in the portrait?
I'd heard the story when you read about art and you hear the highbrows talk about art and you know, some of them top wind. But basically what they say is that in a portrait, in the old classic traditional technique, in that portrait, the artist would try and convey as much information about the subject's life. And obviously they couldn't do that. They couldn't include the wife and children and the lovers and everything else. But what they would do is use props, they would use items. So a guy would be posed with a stack of books or a cane or a cup or a glass.
So it would be symbols.
Yes.
giving you a better picture of their life.
I've always loved the idea of kind of when someone says to you, "Oh, you've captured him. He's just the way I see him." It's never been enough for me because we're never one person. We never stand alone. You know, we all have people in our life who are special to us, and we all have people in our life that help us be what we are. So I always saw the possibility of including information, trying to get as much information in that one portrait as I could. And the 100 heads idea, in the first five portraits from Colin McKeown, who is number one, who's a portrait which was made out of paint and newspaper in the old kind of 60s technique of collage. I then, from that second portrait, which was Dave Charters, third one was Mike Macca, Mythos, and the fourth one was Lorraine. By the time I'd reached Jaws, I'd opened up to the idea that it's not just about one person. It should be about you. It should be about your friends. It should be about your achievements. It should be about the moments that you're proud of. And it should be, in a sense, an educational portrait in that someone who doesn't know much about your life. I mean, people have been great. They've been very giving in the stuff they've given me. But we couldn't sit down with people and we couldn't relay our lives. And there's not enough time to sit in a pub or a restaurant and tell people what you've done. But this art form gives you the opportunity to put in little snippets of information. And someone looking at your portrait would see the Pitt Lockery Theatre ticket. And it makes them want to inquire, to research, to do some more. It may want them they may want to send you an email and say, you know, I was there as well, or I was at that church, I went to that school, you know, Neptune Theatre, I was there. So that to me is the magic of these portraits, because it becomes less about me and more about life in general and the stuff that we share.
I think it is they're quite extraordinary. If you don't get an opportunity to go down to listeners, the Heritage Centre. Look out for a magazine. It's called the Liverpool Lifestyle Magazine, the August edition, because on the front of that is Tony's portrait of John Lennon, and it'll give you an idea of what we're talking about, how all these snippets and cuttings from John Lennon's life, as well as pictures and album covers and other things to do with him, come together to make up the portrait. So, what did you say, Tony? There's going to be 135 of them. When the day comes to exhibit them all together, you're going to have to look for somewhere, a big place, aren't you?
We are. I mean, that's kind of been the problem with it, really. Last year, when we were building up towards 100, if you remember, when we started, we had, I think it was 70 to show, and then I was working on them gradually throughout the year, until ultimately we showed 100 at St. George's Hall, which was magnificent. And I believe there was nearly 700,000 people passed through the exhibition.
Fantastic.
For that month it was there, which again, you know, it's not an exhibition about celebrity. It's not an exhibition that's going to give each guest a goodie bag full of stuff. They want to come in and spend time out of interest in people's lives, which was great. It was great for me, and it was also special for me to see that so many people from Liverpool were there, but also people from Ireland and all over the world were there, and they understood totally what we're doing and why we would want to portray a city in portraits, because they too, as I said before, think Liverpool is a special place. That's why they come.
Talking to my special guest this hour on City Talk 105.9, I'm in conversation with my guest and my friend, Tony Brown. Fantastic artist. We're talking about his ongoing work, 100 Heads, the latest of which are being exhibited, the Beatles, just four of them, down at the Heritage Centre, St. George's, underneath St. George's Hall. You know, they're there all week. Get down there if you can. Or they're there till when, Tony?
They're there now till the 29th, which is next Friday.
Right, so just over a week. Yeah, just over a week. I don't know whether it's fair to ask you this question. Any favourites amongst them?
Amongst the Beatles?
No, amongst all of them.
Portraits. Yeah. In the midway through working on them, people would say, "What's your favourite one?" I would say the next one. Mm. It's kind of like I love them all. I can recall vividly every hour spent with that particular person and every conversation. Like I say, it's been magical. It's a wonderful wonderful experience. The hard thing for me was I originally thought this is something that would last for the year and then I'd move off. Amongst the show we've been working, I've been working on commissions. I kind of thought it would be like that, but it's taken over our lives, and wonderfully so. But at this stage in the game, I would say I've loved every single portrait. I've loved doing it, and I continue to do it. But what we may do is theme it in some way. I mean, someone had talked to me. I've never particularly up on sports, although I'm an Evertonian. I come from an Evertonian family, and I appreciate the, as the Beatles are icons of music and of the city, I appreciate totally that there's a need to immortalise the likes of King Kenny, who's a wonderful, wonderful man, a wonderful player, and maybe King Kenny, Bill Shankly, Dixie Dean and the great Dave Hickson should be four portraits in their own right. So I'm trying to kind of channel my energies into that and work with commissions and all.
Have you ever come across somebody who said to you, oh, I've heard you're doing these 100 portraits, I want you to do mine, and you thought, not in a million?
Well, that has happened, yeah.
We're not naming any names.
That's happened, and there has been a few times when people have not quite got the idea that these people, when I... it sounds quite grand to say, well, these are all people I know. So the people can be quite affronted and say, well, because you don't know me, does that mean I'm not worthy? And I've never... We're all worthy people. But I had to channel my work into wanting to paint portraits of people I knew and people who've inspired me. Because had someone who said, there's a suitcase full of money and there's 100 names I want you to paint, I wouldn't have done that. I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done that in a million years. That would have been like going to clocking on, clocking off. And that's not what it was about. The project was never about money. So much so that Titlerine and I bought 16 years to pay the bills. But it was purely about me saying thank you to these people. And yet there have been many people who come up and say, well, my husband's not in it, you should do my husband. My husband's had his business in the city for 50 years, and I don't know that lady's husband. I don't know anything about their lives. I've never met them. I could be doing them a disservice, but there have been people who come up to me and say, do you take commissions? And I do take commissions, and I have done. I mean, the commissions have been what's got us to certain points. No, that's money in the bank, so-called, to pay the bills, to buy the canvases, to buy the materials, to finish the project. It's not the glamorous of occupations being an artist. As actors and musicians in the same boat, you know, it's a very up and down, surreal life. I love it. I'm not complaining at all.
Now, of course, you're talking about, you know, it's not easy being an artist. Two questions I want to ask you, first of all, you know, about the work that you do. The first one is, when they're not being exhibited, where do you store all these, you know, over 100 4x4 canvases?
The
you need a big storage space.
They've been on the road constantly, really, since
right.
Friends of ours, there's a company called Mitchell Charlesworth, who chartered accountants. They have a series on their office walls. So we're open for them to move. The whole idea and the whole, the wonder of the portraits is that they're meant to be seen. They're meant to go around. I don't want to put them just anywhere, but I want them to be seen by as many people as possible. Our ideas, I always thought my family link and most family lines in Liverpool is from Ireland to Liverpool to New York. And they were the three main places I would love the work to be shown, because that's a link. And if you read some of the portraits, if you acknowledge where these people came from, we've got that link in abundance in Liverpool. Ireland is a big part of Liverpool, as is America. And we've been trying to knuckle down a few venues in maybe Dublin and Cork, and maybe in New York City, to take a selection of the heads. So whatever I do and however my work flows over the next few months, maybe years, we still feel that there's places we would like to exhibit the heads.
Now, your studio, the studio you used to have where we first met, I used to love coming to visit you there. It literally was, wasn't it? Almost like the Garrett Artist Studio, the top of the building, you know, and you walked in and it was just... It was fascinating to look around because it was just full of the most, you know, amazing, interesting things. Canvases covered over with sheets and things that, you know, half done. Lots of stuff on the walls and your desk absolutely littered. Typical artist.
But the studio is bigger now.
But you've moved now, haven't you? Yeah, you had to move out of there.
Yeah, Lorraine and I were happy. It was a wonderful, wonderful place. And Arthur and Jay, who were the landlords there, have been absolutely phenomenal. But the sheer volume and the sheer size of the project, the 100 Heads, meant we had to move out. So we'd met, through a mutual friend, we'd met Barry Owen, who was part of Mason Owen, the property developers. And Barry Owen kindly made Hanover Galleries available for us. So we were in there for I think it was about 11 months, something like that, which was a special building, because I firmly believe...
Because it's where Ethel Austin had the gallery.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But another strange... The whole 100 Heads thing, I've got to tell you, it has been full of magical, angelic moments. That building was the scene of my first ever solo exhibition 20 years ago. Yeah, when my mum was so... we were all so proud, but my mum was so proud of that evening. And when we, if you remember, we did a launch... When we moved in with the 100 Heads, we did a launch evening with the first 20, because we were trying to raise sponsorship, we were trying to notify people of where we were going. So we had 20 portraits. We painted, my cousin, the painter and decorator, he came in, painted the gallery. The whole family mucked in. We made the gallery accessible and we brought people in. And on this night, we launched 20 Heads and we said to people, this is what we're doing. And it was only when I looked at the guest book, 20 years to the day, was where my first show was in the same building. And there we have 20 years later, within the building, showing 100 Heads. So,
fantastic. So the first time you were there, was Mrs. Austin there then?
Yes.
Yeah, because she used to sit at the desk. She used to take the money, didn't she, if you bought a picture?
Yeah.
She was a real character.
I painted a portrait at the time. I painted a little 10x8 of her and gave her as a gift. But for us, the lady that made it, I'm sure there's many listeners who remember, the lady that made it all possible and gave us our first break was a wonderful lady called Kathy Moore.
Yeah.
Mm. And she was at the gallery for many years. And Kathy is still our friend now, and she comes
to
our...
She's a great character, isn't she?
She's Liverpool. She's a gift to the city.
I'm in conversation with my special guest and friend this hour, Tony Brown. You're listening to City Talk 105.9.
Madam, an ice cream sundae. Oh, and 60% off a Kelmscott kitchen, please.
Certainly.
Plus, I want an extra 10% off as well.
Chocolate sauce and a free hot point washing machine and dishwasher on top of that, madam.
Bank holiday treats now available at your local MFI store until 9 p.m. Bank holiday Monday. Not at your local ice cream parlour. Minimum spend, conditions apply. Higher prices charged 5th to the 18th of June.
You know, I love Buffet Star. Delicious, mouth-watering, scrumptious, piping hot, healthy Chinese and Thai food. Eat as much as you like for under 6 quid. And talking of squid, don't you just love it pan-fried with lashings of salt and chilli?
Mm-hmm. Buffet Star. 60 delicious Thai and Chinese dishes to choose from for less than 6 quid. Buffet Star. Hanover Street, Liverpool. Just round the corner from Central Station. A Swift story. Mary's Jodie's nan. Mary lives in Speke. Jodie lives in Newcastle. Jodie loves football. Mary loves the internet. Today is Jodie's birthday. Yesterday, Mary bought a footy kit online. Today, thanks to Swift Dispatch and to her mum's horror, Jodie's wearing it to a party.
For next day deliveries, Swift Dispatch is affordable, reliable and secure. Call 0845 241 6666 now or visit swiftdispatch.com. Swift Dispatch, the award-winning courier service you can rely on.
Thanks to the Merseyside and West Lancs Lifelong Learning Network.
You can study for a university foundation degree at your local college. You can study full or part-time. And the job you're doing now could count towards a qualification you choose.
From accountancy, business and IT, to counselling and many health courses. Find out about your opportunities for September 2008. Call 0800 195 5063.
The Lifelong Learning Network. Learn for the life you want tomorrow around the life you live today.
Not you as well, mate. Congratulations on the new job, Andy.
Everybody's escaping to a better job. CityTalkJobs.co.uk. Talk to Tricia on City Talk 105.9.
Hi, I'm Tricia Goddard, and coming up on this week's show, tracing your family tree. Plus, as a shocking report reveals, the number of women living on the streets has increased by 80% since 2003, we find out why. To mark the 100th anniversary of pensions, we ask, what does it mean to be old in 2008? Plus, the extraordinary story of the oldest woman to climb Everest. Reluctant mountaineer Vicky Jack tells all. So join me, Tricia Goddard, at 8 o'clock this Sunday.
Talk to Tricia, Sunday evening at 8 on City Talk 105.9. In conversation with Dean on City Talk 105.9.
It's just coming up to a quarter to three. Of course, something for everyone on City Talk. Following the Sullivan Show today, drive time today with Howard Hughes with you from 4 o'clock after the news and sport. 7 o'clock, of course, a special for you tonight. The real Rafa, our very own City Sports, Steve Hothersall, is talking to Rafa Benitez and his wife. He was talking to them at Liverpool's Melwood training ground to find out what life is really like behind the headlines. It's a revealing insight. You can learn more about the Rafa. Rafa the family man, his drive and his determination to be the best, and how his first attempt at golf nearly ended up with him killing a Liverpool fan. That's an hour-long conversation with the real Rafa. That's tonight from 7 o'clock exclusive on City Talk 105.9. City Sport with you, Pete McDowell. Peter McDowell's with you tonight from 8 o'clock back live in the studio with all the latest sports news from across the globe. And Peter Price back with you from 10, asking what to do on a rainy bank holiday weekend. And of course, Peter last night was talking to our chief constable, Bernard Hogan Howe. You can listen again if you missed that interview. Go online to citytalk.fm and listen again to that interview. Great interview. Roy Basner takes you through the wee small hours of the morning with his regular features Beyond the Dark and the Scouser in New York. Kim and Paul are back with you with breakfast from 6. Will Batchelor in for Duncan from 9. Tomorrow talking about music festivals. Are they like refugee camps? And City Surgery with our very own Phil Cooper from our newsroom sitting in for Will. And tomorrow he's talking all things financial. And of course from 1 you're back with me, Sully, on The Sullivan Show. Something for everyone on City Talk 105.9.
In conversation with Dean on City Talk 105.9.
In conversation with my special guest and friend Tony Brown, talking about his work, 100 heads, what's going to be now 135 heads. So when will we next see them coming together, do you think? Well, a major exhibition, Tony.
As a major exhibition, it would be next year now, Dean. We hope to organise two or three venues. St George's Hall is one we're in discussion with, but we feel that there's so much happening in the city now, and the hard thing is to commandeer a venue of that size, the size that we need for a month. You know, so St George's Hall might be a fortnight. But also, we hope to be in talks with the cathedrals again. Metropolitan Cathedral, as you know, was such a special thing for
us. That
was
great, and I remember coming to that one. Yeah. They're not so at home sat there,
didn't they? Wonderful, and during the services, it was just wonderful to see these faces loom out.
As part of it all,
yeah, and the light
part
changes
of the fabric,
it was a special time.
What propelled all of this, Tony? You know, you know, you came up with the original idea, you and, you know, your lovely wife Lorraine, you know, you must have been sat around talking about it and, you know, how you wanted to put it together and move it on or whatever. Yeah. But a couple of significant things happened, really, didn't they, life that sort of gave you a new impetus as far as it was all concerned?
Yeah. What it was, we'd planned to do it and we worked on the first portrait, which is Colin. We showed Colin's portrait at an
Colin
exhibition.
Colin McEwan?
Yeah. And from that point, we gazed kind of a response, because I'd been carrying this idea around in my head, and I didn't know it was going to happen, I didn't know how I was going to do it. And we talked, throughout my life, my mum and dad had been immensely supportive of whatever I did, and they didn't go overboard when obviously they might have been disappointed or shocked when as a young man I said, no, I'm going to be a musician and an artist, and they never once said, behave yourself, get a real job, you know. And so they've always been there.
That was something you wanted to do right from the beginning then?
Oh yes, yeah. since I was a tot, since I could walk, yeah. Guitar music and everything, hence the Beatles and as a child, the thing that really made me appreciate that I could do something. Because there were no role models in the family. There was a guitar and a piano in various family homes, and actually some people in the family could play mm-hmm. piano. But more often than not, it was furniture. But when I saw the Beatles for the first time on TV, I think it was a Ken Dodd show, it was a special, I just loved the fact that they sounded like we sounded and that they came from down the road. And I thought, oh, God. People from Liverpool can. I wasn't aware that it wasn't a social divide. It wasn't like a people from Liverpool thing. But I just thought someone like me could strive to achieve something, and so music became the passion. Then anything else was forgotten, and painting and music became hand in hand. And again, as I said, I was lucky enough, fortunate enough to have a truly wonderful, supportive mum and dad and family. The family have been great. And over the years, and the knocks on the door, my mum would have got for me, practising electric guitar splashing paint all over the high streets, whatever. But what had happened when we had the idea for the 100 Heads is our sister-in-law, Cheryl, we knew was ill, and the John Lennon portrait was actually painted for us to sell... to raise money to look after our family, Cheryl and Mark, my brother-in-law Mark. Cheryl was going to leave behind a little five-year-old girl who's gorgeous, Georgia. And at the age of early 30s, you do not expect to be told that you're not going to be around, and there's no life insurance set up. So we painted the portrait and we're going to sell it. And I was told by so many people, you can't sell it in Liverpool. It won't go. You won't get the money for it, which may or may not have been right. We don't know. But it put me on the track because we didn't have money. But all I could do was play music and paint pictures. And I felt so helpless. I wanted to do something. While the family was in turmoil with this devastation, we lost my mum suddenly. Without rhyme or reason, and it was the impact of the two girls who were both just absolutely wonderfully majestic people that prompted the scale of the 100 Heads, and I just went for it. And I've heard it said before that grief can take many formats, but for me. Everything, and for Lorraine, and for the family, really, who pulled together. The whole 100 Heads was a family concern, from fan drivers to my brother-in-law, Mark, who'd lost Cheryl. He was magnificent. He was with us every day, making the supports for me to put the canvas on, to paint the pictures. So it became a vehicle for all of us, and that vehicle became 100 Heads. So you can imagine how special it was for me when people liked, when we unveiled it and people liked it.
You dedicate all your work to your mum and to Cheryl, don't you?
I did, yeah.
Family's very important to you, isn't it, Tony?
Absolutely, yeah. They are, yeah. Continue to be, always will be.
I notice, because I've been to nearly, I think, every single one of your exhibitions, known you for a while now, and I notice now, your family are always there to support you. Of course they are. Your lovely wife, Lorraine, and your dad. And your in-laws. And now I noticed, the first time, last night, one of your daughters.
Emily,
She's
sitting in your lap. Emily, the kids are great because the kids aren't fazed by anything now. Mm. And when I was a kid growing up, I was very insecure and very shy. And art and music was my way of communicating with the world. Probably still is. The kids leave me well behind. Yeah. But the kids, I think every child now is growing up.
How old's Emily?
Emily's 13.
I was watching her last night, looking absolutely gorgeous and smart and on a mobile phone.
Don't they grow up quick? Yeah, well, my eldest is Sophie, and she's 20.
Yeah.
And the two of them are stunners. And my youngest daughter is Katie, and she's 6. She's a twin. And Tom. Yeah. Tom is very much the little boy in the woman's world at the moment, because when I'm not at home, he shouts loudest.
Yeah. And any of them following in your footsteps, artistically?
They're very natural with art and with music and with writing. I'm keen not to push them into anything, but we're also keen to support them should they want to do it.
As your own parents did, you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because without that, you know yourself, without that, if you put in a pigeonhole and you're taught to get that bit of paper, that bit of paper, that bit of paper, which I'm not knocking is important, but it ceases to be your life. It ceases, you're working towards someone else's timescale. And I've loved my life, and Lorraine and I love our life now because I'm free to try new things, to do new stuff. And the kids, I want the kids to grow up with that mentality as well.
What do you do to relax?
Play music.
Do you have time to relax?
Lorraine and I very rarely get time to ourselves. We've got the kids and we do a lot of family things, and we go out and our treat, our luxury in town is a wonderful, wonderful restaurant. Have you ever been there? Bartolelli, Franco's
place. Oh, yeah, of course. I know Franco, yes.
Well, that is the height of luxury for us. If Lorraine and I get a night off from anything, we're at Franco's place there.
Excellent. Now then, let's go right back to where we started. This exhibition at St George's Hall, at the Heritage Centre, I should say. First time that the four portraits of the Beatles have been seen together. Yeah. And as I mentioned, you know, all these wonderful, the showcases there, full of all these fantastic mugs and Superland bananas, which we talk about on this show constantly.
They've apparently sold out. People are queuing up this morning to buy them.
Well, that's brilliant. Now, and I was saying to you, you know, that you've got to do that because you've got to have a few bob coming in order to continue your work. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Is it a book in the pipeline? I've said to you, are you making any postcards of the 100 heads?
There are postcards. What we've made available now, we're working with a wonderful printer. Any one of the 100 heads could be bought as a reproduction on a canvas. From album size, 12 inch by 12 inch, to slightly bigger, 24 inch square.
So you're saying that people can buy a picture of me?
You can buy a picture of you, they can buy it in three different sizes.
I love it.
What we hope is ultimately the book, but we're looking for someone who can help us with the book.
Excellent, so a lot going on. Tony, I could sit here and talk to you all day, as always. We'd love to have a good old natter, don't we? It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Good luck down at St George's Hall. Keep us up to date with everything that's going on.
I will do.
Come back and talk to us again. That's my very special friend and my guest in conversation this hour, Anthony Brown, fantastic artist. If you haven't seen it, get down to St George's.